This is Wells Tech, a show that explores the intersection of technology and ministry. Wells Tech is a part of the Streams Media Network sponsored by Wells, the Wisconsin Evangelical Lutheran Synod. Your show hosts are Martin Spriggs and Sally Draper. Join the conversation at wellstech.wells.net. You've joined Wells Tech once again. This is episode 451 for June 28th, 2016. My name is Martin Spriggs, and this is a show about technology and ministry and where those two intersect. We do this each and every week, and doing that alongside good friend and podcasting partner, Sally Draper. Hey, Sally, how are you?
I am very good, Martin. It's a early recording time for us, so maybe that'll give us a little more.
Coffee?
No coffee. I'm not a coffee drinker, but I'm ready.
Neither one of us.
And you're all dressed up for us today. You must be doing something special.
Right. I'm up at the seminary later this afternoon helping out Mike Hintz, our evangelism director, do a class, a summer quarter class on evangelism. So I'm handling kind of a half day on digital evangelism, websites, and social media, and prospect management, all that good stuff. So that'll be fun. I don't know how many are in the class, but that's kind of an interesting vibe up there when pastors come in for summer quarter. They're really committed. They want to get kind of brushed up on the latest and greatest, and this is what this class is all about. So it'll be fun. Spend an afternoon
blessings
on the hill.
Yeah, blessings on that work and those who attend. We hope that some of that technology can assist them in their ministry, just like we hope each week when we record.
Right, so. Exactly. So we are recording, therefore we ought to be talking about something, and we will. We are on the last week of the month, June, where we've been talking all about mobile. So we've talked about devices, we've talked about apps. Today we're talking about what's so special about the content that you put on mobile, maybe versus any other digital medium, especially like a computer or desktop experience. There are differences. So we want to talk about getting that content that you have ready for mobile distribution.
Yep. And I think there's probably two angles to look at this. One is the display of the content on the screen and the mechanics of making it display well. So I think we've all had the experience where you go to certain websites, sometimes even on a desktop, and they're so wide, they scroll off the edge to the right. And certainly as you collapse things down for tablets and smartphone consumption, having websites where everything doesn't show on the screen can be a real challenge for them. So, making sure that your website is sized correctly, that's kind of the mechanics side of it. And even that has a couple of layers. There's really technical ways you can do that, or there's themes and things that do that for you with some content management. Then the other side of it is actually gearing your content for the mobile consumer so that it's not overwhelming to them, because they have a small screen. They need to get to what they're looking for quickly. They need to see it all on their screen if they can, or a reasonable representation of it. They don't need to be overwhelmed by things when they're looking at it on a small device. So a lot of little balls to juggle there.
Yeah, it's interesting. Just in prep for my class this afternoon, I was looking up the Wells Facebook page, Insight Stats. And there you can always see what kind of devices are connected to the page. And one number that jumped out at me, which you might expect, is that I think about 65% of all visitors to the Wells.net page, and they've got, I don't know how many, 20,000 or 30,000 likes, 65% are coming through mobile devices. So they're using a Facebook app, either on a tablet or a smartphone. And sites like Facebook have gotten really smart about making a nice mobile experience. And that's why I think those numbers are growing. And a lot of our websites need to get there as well, as we are expecting those numbers to rise as far as the mobile visitors. And they treat it a little bit differently. You don't get the same experience with the Facebook mobile app that you do on the desktop, the desktop experience, because they've recognized that attention span is shorter. You really can't do any horizontal scrolling, got to be all vertical. You can't you don't have the room to show everything you do in a desktop experience. So there's design decisions that you need to make to accommodate the growing number of mobile viewers, and a lot of considerations there.
Yep, the key term that folks probably want to key in on is responsive. And the term responsive in web design means that the screen contents size for the device that's viewing them. So I have on my screen a page from the W3 Schools, which is kind of the best place to go and learn all about coding and HTML and CSS and things like that. And they're showing the same website on a desktop kind of monitor experience, a tablet experience, and then a smartphone experience. And you can see in this example, if you're watching the video, that the content shifts around and it collapses down in size as the screen size gets smaller. And that's that responsive design. And they get into a lot of the technical aspects of coding pages, the taggings and metadata you need to have, the points where screen resolution breaks. So, you know, maybe it 800 pixels wide or whatever it may be, it's going to know to move things around and make things smaller or whatever. And all of that can be found there on the coursework available through W3 Schools. I'm sure there's a lot of other coursework available in many other places on the web to learn about responsive design. But as I mentioned earlier, you can also rely on templates for popular content management systems to do all of that technical stuff, to understand where to break and resize the screen and move things around. The templates can do all that for you.
Mm-hmm. Many of our viewers, I'm sure, are users of Final Web, which is our Synod's partner in providing a web hosting solution. And over the past 2-3 years, they have launched a few more mobile-friendly or responsive-designed templates. They've recognized that there is a need for that, and I'm sure they're working on more that will take the existing content and allow you to plug it into a more mobile-friendly experience. At the beginning, they kind of did almost a hack where they kind of created a text-only version of your site that would show to mobile visitors, but that's really not the way you want to go moving forward. You want still a rich experience on a mobile device with images and those kinds of things. They just need to be scaled and resized to match the screen size, as you mentioned. Maybe the best place that we could recommend that people start is to see how your own site responds on different device sizes. And there are tools that will help you do that. In fact, even if you don't have all the devices necessary to test, you don't have the different sizes of the iPhone or tablets to test on. That would obviously be the best to try and test on. You have tools available right within the most browsers today, developer tools, and Chrome is probably one of the best ones where you can use a kind of an emulator that will give you an idea of what things would look like if it were at a particular device size.
Yep, and I will queue up those tools right now. I'm on the Grace Falls Church, Virginia website, and I'm looking at it in a desktop kind of view, but through my Chrome browser, if I use the hamburger three-lined icon and go to More Tools and select Developer Tools, my screen will change. And they actually have a little icon you can toggle on and off. It's the second icon in the developer toolbar. And it will show you different experiences. So, for instance, I can look at what an iPad would look like, landscape or portrait. And it'll show me how this particular website, scrunches things a bit or whatever on the iPad screen. And then I can switch it to different types of phones. So they have available, iPhones, Nexus phones, Galaxy, and you can see the different resolutions. It shows right on the screen, like an iPhone 6 is 375 by 667 in portrait. You can rotate it and see what it would look like on an iPhone in landscape mode. And some of the things that we were seeing on the website kind of disappear. For instance, in that iPad experience, there was a slider bar of promo type material at the top, and that completely goes away when you switch to the iPhone view. You just get the big chunks of feature articles instead. So interesting way to do it. Another thing that often happens with the emulator on these responsive websites is that the menu that displays normally collapses down to one of those hamburger kind of menus. So maybe you have a top menu, but when you get on the smaller screens and resolutions, that top menu automatically switches to the three bars that can be expanded to show the different menu items. So just an example of using that developer tool option to emulate the different types of screens.
Yep. And that it's really easy to use and to configure. And it's every browser has something like it, but I would say Chrome's is maybe the most consistent and very useful. So that would probably be step one, is just to see how your experience, how your visitors experience your website if they're on these different devices. And then, as Sally mentioned, there are templates available for Final Web. Many people use WordPress. There are WordPress themes out there as well. Very beautiful, rich ones that can be very easy to implement. And MLC, as Sally's showing here on the screen, is an example of a WordPress site. Wells.net is another one where you can see how a theme has been applied that really takes advantage of some of the uniqueness of a smaller device, and then kind of reformatting the content to fit that experience.
Yep. I have to check my notes. So again, some of the things that you want to be in tune to is that your website visitors have a shorter attention span. When they're on a mobile device, they're typically looking for quick access to things. They can't go through a lot of different links and things. You want to present your menus very consistently, and many of the responsive themes put the menu icon in that upper right position, and people know to kind of look there for menu items. I'm just trying to think. Yeah, things like interacting with forms. That's one of the notes we made, and I don't really have an example to show, but the fact that when people work with forms on the web, and there's little radio buttons, for instance, that they need to click the circle. On a phone, those are tiny when they shrink them down. And so you may want to have responsive forms that you use that change those buttons around and make them larger so they're easier to touch with your fingertip or whatever. So just some of those considerations as you're developing and making your website more friendly for mobile visitors.
One neat part about the advent of these mobile devices is the ability to quickly share content. All modern day smartphones or tablets in their operating systems, Android or iOS, usually have pretty easy ways to share content. So if you happen on a web page, the browser has built-in sharing tools, or on your site, pay attention to that as well. Whether that's Final Web or WordPress or whatever content management system you're using, almost all of them have sharing tools or modules that you can add. So don't overlook those. You're producing content that you want to be shared typically in a church or school setting. So make it as easy as possible for your visitor either to bookmark that content or specifically share it to Facebook or Twitter or Instagram, those kinds of things. And again, there are all kinds of modules that are out there. Sally, maybe we ought to even spend a whole show talking about some of those techniques and technologies that are available out there for sharing, because it's really important and a great evangelistic tool in the hands of your members or parents to get the word out. Just by you giving them content, they can share that content. So just something that you want to account for in your web design. And while we're talking about, you know, mobile readiness, that's one thing people do when they're on a cell phone, when they're in a tablet, they're sharing content.
Yeah, definitely. So we do have a lot of resources to include in the show notes this week, including, as Martin mentioned, you know, examples of responsive theme on Final Web templates, as well as WordPress. And there are vendors out there who specifically focus on responsive themes for WordPress in particular. One site I can think of is
churches too, just
right, churches. Yeah. Churchthemes.com is an example of one. Mm-hmm. And some of these themes may not be free, believe it or not. You might have to spend a little money to get a solid design and responsiveness, well coded and stuff. But I would venture to say, especially looking at some of the lessons in the W3 school, that I'd much rather have the theme do those things for me than have to necessarily learn all the coding required to keep up with all these breakpoints of different devices and things like that, so that things, size appropriately depending on the device.
Focus on the content, let the technology take care of the rest for you. But yeah, mm-hmm. Spending a few dollars, and a lot of these themes are not super expensive. I mean, they may cost $25 or $10 or, even $50, on the top end, but boy, that's worth it, worth your time to maybe spend that or budget for that. And you're really not doing this every year. You're probably doing a redesign every 3, 4, 5 years, maybe. Mm-hmm. So it's not going to be a financial burden.
So yeah, definitely think mobile. More and more will be coming to your sites on mobile devices, and you want to be able to give them your great content and share that good news to those who are surfing your way on a mobile device.
Which is a growing number. So, mm-hmm. All right, let's move on. Sal, you want to remind everybody about our July photo challenge?
I do. We are right at the end of June. There's still time to get photos in for June on travel, vacation, VBS, and Matthew 11:29. But coming up in July, our final month of our year-long photo challenge, we're going to be looking for pictures of summer, evangelism, and Isaiah 52:7, which I don't have in front of me, Martin. I should have looked it up beforehand.
I bet there's a website or two that would... Isaiah 52:7.
I'll let you look for that while I share some good news from the Forward in Christ magazine.
That's right. How beautiful on the mountains are the feet of those who bring good news, who proclaim peace, who bring good tidings, who proclaim salvation, who say to Zion, your God reigns. Beautiful verse.
Thinking we need some beautiful feet to be photographed.
Mountains.
Mountains. I think maybe I can handle that. Okay. Just a quick mention that the photo challenge was featured recently in the Forward in Christ magazine. There was an article titled Picture This, which spoke about Naomi Green, one who has been very involved in our photo challenge, and she kind of tells her backstory about her desire to share her photos for the good of those using them for ministry purposes. Got a couple of our great photos featured there in the article, and you definitely want to pick it up and head on over to page 22 to read about Naomi and her involvement in the Wells Tech Photo Challenge. Thank you, Naomi, for all your dedicated work there.
Yeah, and it's a nice article, so be sure to tune into that. And go to the page that's listed there to see all the photos. There have been hundreds of contributed photos, and a lot of them could be the perfect fit for a project that you're working on. So take it.
Maybe even a perfect fit for a responsive website design. That's, who knows?
For sure. Absolutely. All right, let's move on to our picks section, Sally. Our picks of the week.
Yeah, and this actually came to my inbox from our friends at Concordia Publishing House down in St. Louis. They have a blog, and recently they released a summer memory work challenge on their blog. So they're going to be giving us passages to memorize over the summer, just a little bit of God's Word in your life as you enjoy the breaks that summer provides. Perhaps you want to spend some time memorizing. And they've got their first two verse cards out there for you to download. So you can download and print these, and or just save this on your mobile device if you want, and bring them up and remind yourself of Joshua 1:8 and Psalm 119:105 this week, and then watch the blog for additional memory work that'll be released by Concordia throughout the summer. Thought it was a fun way to add a little challenge to your summer vacations.
Very nice. Mm-hmm. I'm also featuring a blog post, and it is on one of my favorite tools, and that is Google Photos. The blog post is from Make Use Of, great website for those who looking for different ways to use technology. This one's entitled, How to Make Google Photos Work for You with These Tips. Go through a series of bullets on why use something like Google Photos, then some how-to sections, how to upload photos, how to sync photos from your computer, how to sync photos from your phone, keep them in sync. Talks a little bit about the two different upload sizes you can pick. One is the high quality, which is an unlimited storage amount that you would receive if you pick that. I believe it uploads to a maximum of 16 megapixel type images, but if you want the originals, you have to take some of your storage that Google provides, and you may have to pay a little bit, although it's not super expensive, and you get all your originals uploaded as well. There are things like shared albums, different ways to organize the photos that you have, including the ability to change the date so you can get at the actual metadata, which is really cool because not all programs allow you to do that. So you could change the date if it happens to maybe even be like a scanned picture that maybe has the date you scanned it versus the date it was taken. You can put tags in there. You can change the title of it, give keywords, organize them by subject, by date and time. And one of my favorite pieces of the whole Google Photos architecture here is the ability to search. And I'm just going to do a quick demo. So I'll pull up my photo album, and they've really ramped this up a lot. So you can really search for just things in pictures at this point. So if you remember that there was some kind of landmark or some other item that is identifiable by Google, and they know a lot about the world because they have a lot of these, a lot of our pictures, they're typically going to be able to find it. So if I type in something like, say, goats, I know there's a picture of maybe my daughter or niece or a recent trip I took where I know there were goats in the picture. Even though goats aren't in the metadata, it will look at your pictures and it will pull up all your pictures that it recognizes as a goat being in the image. So here it's pulled up one that I took a picture of goats up when I was in Door County a couple weeks ago, but then also some shots from 2007 even where my daughter and niece were at a petting zoo and there are goats in the picture. You can do that for almost anything. If I look at maybe the word cross, it's going to go and find every picture of crosses that I have. So pictures of crosses in front of churches, on tombstones, on Bibles, stock photo images. And that's a good use for Google Photos as long as you're not violating copyright to store your stock photography in Google Photos. And then you have the ability to search for content within the image. So a good way to kind of have a lot of different images, and you don't have to go to great lengths to categorize them if you can search on things that are that happen to be in the image. So actually a very cool tool. Google's come a long way in the last couple of years just with the ability to provide that kind of thing. So my pick is the blog post, but I guess Google Photos is another pick that I'd have that if you're looking for something to categorize, it's got some modest editing tools. I'd say if you're using Google Photos for editing, you're not going to get the greatest features. There are better tools for that before you push it up into Google Photos, but it is great for categorizing and cataloging. They also have a facial recognition, so you can say, show me all pictures of my daughter, my wife, whatever, it'll pick those up pretty well as well. So pretty neat.
Yeah, very neat. I saw our friend James Karlofsky demonstrate Google Photos once, and he searched on baptism, which, you know, you'd think, and he certainly hadn't tagged any of the photos that way or anything, but it came up with every picture of baptism, plus some of them at the beach and around water. So just look for water in general. It's just amazing. Yeah, there you go. Baptism.
All my baptism pictures. I threw a confirmation one in there too, but it doesn't get everything right. But
yeah, it's amazing.
Yeah, it is. Cool. And really helpful. I mean, this is a huge time saver, especially if you got a lot of photos. So
definitely.
We have some community feedback this week, Sally.
We do. We heard from, I believe it was Nell Spear Schneider. Thanks, Nell, for writing to us.
That sounds right. Nell
okay.
Schneider, yes.
All right. And Nell is at St. Marcus Lutheran Church in Milwaukee, and they are actually advertising for a production manager, looking for a worship and special events production manager. And so if you have those skills and are interested in possibly working for St. Marcus congregation there in Milwaukee, you might want to check out the job posting. We'll have a link to it in our show notes, and there's information in the job posting about how to get in touch with them and send your resume and things like that. So check it out.
Very good.
And then friend and superstar Mike Hartman wrote to us. I call him a superstar because he's on the Wells Connection this month. I don't know if you've seen your Wells Connection yet, but I had to laugh because someone shared a picture of Mike up on the screen in their congregation and said, you know, I know you kind of thing on his Facebook page. And all these people were chiming in. Yes, we watched that in such and such location. And I just got a real kick out of that. So Mike is missionary and coordinator of Latin American missions, and he's down in Mexico, and he actually wrote to us to let us know he's been following our mobile ministry series, Martin. So we have someone out there listening and appreciating what we're doing. That's
just
exciting.
Mike, but we're happy yeah. that Mike is listening.
And he said it was really timely for him. Their Latin American mission work has really taken a strong focus on making their content mobile friendly. And he cited a study. We'll have a link in our show notes to this study that was recently released by a Christian organization looking at smartphone usage. And even, he says, 60% of the young people in rural Guatemala on their own smartphone. In Mexico, it's 64%. So in these pretty poverty-stricken countries and things, people are still managing to get their hands on smartphones. So delivering content for mobile is really important. He thought he'd share two mobile apps that he finds useful. First of all, he mentioned Uber. So he thinks it's a great experience, at least in Lyon, where they're located. You can keep up with everything there. They keep track of all your receipts and things electronically. You know who you're riding with and things like that. So an app to check out if you're in a large urban area and need to get around. And then the other one he mentioned I wasn't familiar with. It looks like it's just an Android app, and it's called MobiZen. I'll share my screen for those watching. MobiZen for Android allows you to record your smartphone screen, and even sent us a link to a video posted on their Academia Christo site where they recorded their smartphone screen to kind of instruct people on how to use the site. So MobiZen looks like it's a free app and does a good job of recording your screen. So that's a great deal. So again, check out the show notes. We'll have links to those apps and also links to the survey that Mike cited about cell phone usage.
Very interesting. Thanks for giving the feedback, Mike, and blessings on your work there in Mexico. Mm-hmm. All right, that'll do it for community feedback. If you want to give us information to share or to talk about or discuss or feedback on anything that we've had on previous shows, you're welcome to do that. Just go to wellstech.wells.net. And you can see all the opportunities for feedback there at the top row. We have all the social networks listed there. You can leave a note there on the show notes page. You can send us an email, wellstech@wells.net. Lots of different ways to connect with us. So please do that. We'd love to hear from you. Sally, we're going to do this again next week, and I'm excited about a month full of talk about security. It's more exciting than it actually sounds, because there's a lot of things that you should certainly be aware of, but some of the tools that are out there to help us be more secure are getting better and better. So next week, we're going to begin a full week, month of July, talking about security, and we're going to start by talking about everybody's favorite topic, passwords. So get ready for that. Tune in next week for our discussion on those passwords.
Looking forward to it. Important for us personally as well as for our ministries. So good stuff.
Yep, like them or not, they're there. All right. So I think that's going to be about it for the show, Sally. Thank you everybody for tuning in, and we pray that you have a blessed 4th of July weekend, and we'll see you on the other side of that. Have a great weekend. Bye-bye.